Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And we are back here for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley. We're excited for this one. There'll be a lot to talk about when we talk about fantasy football and the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, maybe not, but we're going to get into them today. We'll talk about what they haven't done this offseason thus far, what they could be looking forward to doing in the draft, and how their season went, what happened fantasy-wise. We'll get into all of it on this program today. Certainly a little bit of a different season than we expected for the Ravens, some good, some bad, and we'll get into all of it here on this edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast as we're starting from the bottom of the first round and moving our way up. You can already check out our podcast with the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Colts, the Broncos, the Cowboys, hitting the Ravens and moving all the way up until we get to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll have all of these up before the start of the NFL draft. But speaking of starts, the MLB season is underway and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season really gets going. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. Pick a brand-new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And it's funny, you hear the word exciting, Joe. We don't necessarily bring up the Ravens in exciting. And maybe you don't root for that exciting of a baseball team or see some boring games going on. With FanDuel, you can find something exciting and give yourself a reason to watch any game at any point during the season.
Yeah, it's kind of tough when baseball season's on and you're not excited about your team. Maybe your team had a bad injury and it really tanked the team's season and you still are a hopeless baseball romantic. FanDuel provides you a way to give something to root for. Just root for your guys. And, you know, with the way you want to stack a lineup, it kind of gives you a game to watch.
Right.
It gives you, hey, I got four guys from this game. I'm going to put that game on. And it allows you to root for your team any night. And it's a really fun way to play fantasy baseball. Fantasy baseball is a completely different animal than fantasy football, at least season-long fantasy baseball. FanDuel kind of rectifies that. There's instant gratification.
It takes away a bit of that grind that kind of goes along with fantasy baseball.
Look, you look at a baseball season, maybe your team goes 20-10 in the first month and you're feeling great about your season and then it goes in the crapper. Or the team is 10-20 in the first month and just got off to a slow start and the team just gets better and better. But there's none of that. You don't have to wait for that to develop when it comes to FanDuel Fantasy Baseball. Really a unique way to play.
Eric Hafford from California, he turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. And you can join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer, 4 new users for every dollar you deposit. FanDuel match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So let's talk a little Ravens here. And if you hear us go out throughout these podcasts and want to get your questions in, you can certainly do so. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus, note the team, and tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. Plenty of ways for you to get a hold of us, and we'll answer your questions throughout the podcast series. But for the Ravens, guys, as we look at what happened in 2014, they gave us one of the biggest surprises I can ever remember in the history of fantasy football. I think it's fair to say that. In Justin Forsett, we talk so much about the short shelf life of running backs and, you know, how much time you're going to get out of these guys. Justin Forsett, before joining the Ravens in 2014, was with the Colts, the Seahawks for 3 years, then the Texans. than the Jaguars. Yes, he was a Colt, believe it or not. Exactly. That's the point of that. In 2008, 3 years at the Seahawks from 2009 to 2011, Houston in 2012, Jacksonville in 2013, and in year number 7 for Justin Forsett, he has an unbelievable season, career highs across the board, and became one of the most reliable running backs to have in your lineup week in and week out. 235 carries, just to give you an idea of what he's done in years past, had only hit triple digits two other times, and that goes back to 2010 with Seattle, 118 carries. And so nearly double that total. 1,266 yards, having never done more than 619 back in 2009. Averaged 5.4 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns, and this comes from a guy who had a total of 8 rushing touchdowns the rest of his career. 44 catches for 263 yards. Got near that total a couple times in previous seasons. No receiving touchdowns, 59 targets, but 15.3 fantasy points per game, nearly 5 points clear of his next best season, which once again came 5 years ago. We know what happened with Ray Rice, and you know, we all were looking at Bernard Pierce, yet it was Justin Forsett who really stepped up here in a big way. Played every game, had some knee issues at the end of the season, but ended up finishing on a high note with a 119-yard game against the Browns in Week 17, but went for 100 yards 5 different times, double-digit fantasy points in all but 3 games. This guy was the model of consistency and would be one of the last people you'd expect to get it from, yet they asked him to step up. He did, and they've even brought him back already, and that's really been the only significant move that the Ravens have made this offseason in terms of signings, because they haven't made many, nothing major of note. So
they're just letting everybody walk away.
They pretty much are. But they bring a guy back like Forsett. Now, here's the thing. He's such an interesting kind of study here because he turns 30 in October and is entering his 8th season. But as I mentioned with those numbers, has never really been anything more than a backup, a rotational guy, a depth guy. Never a guy that's really had a lot of fantasy value. Yet in 2014, he has an unbelievable season. He sees a big jump in all of his numbers, including the carry total. But 235 isn't even that bad of a number when you consider starting number one guys. You look at other guys that were among the top 12 with the big carry numbers. Bell with 290, Murray 393, Forte 266, Foster and Lynch, each 260 for Foster, 280 for Lynch, 246 for Lacy. So 235 for Forsett is not even that bad of a number, but doesn't he become one of the more interesting guys is in terms of you go into the drafts in 2015 and your auctions? What kind of value does Justin Forsett get from fantasy owners? Because he's coming off his busiest season, but never had a real busy season besides that, and is still clearly their number one guy with, you know, like Lorenzo Talaferro behind him. You know, we know that Bernard Pierce is now a Jaguar. So could Forsett end up being somewhat of a value because he's not that exciting of a player, and he is going into his 8th season, and he's a guy that came out of nowhere, and does he get kind of valued by many owners as kind of a fluky player going into 2015?
Here's the thing about Justin Forsett, and I think the reason I'm a little bit of a believer is because this is a good team that knew what it wanted to do offensively, and it plugged Forsett into a zone blocking scheme that really fit his skills. But I can tell you guys that in general, I don't think people are huge believers in Forsett, or they think it was just some serendipity that really helped him out. Obviously, you had the Ray Rice awful domestic violence case that led to his release. Bernard Pierce had two bad years in a row. He's no longer on the team because of a DUI. You brought in a veteran who was just looking for a shot, somebody who was hungry, and he took advantage of that. And he played behind an offensive line that was so much better under Gary Kubiak than it was the previous season. And it all worked out for Forsett, but he was such a good fit in the offense. But I can tell you, people are not having faith in Justin Forsett this in the early going. Guys, I just took him in an MFL 10. In an MFL 10s, I tend to like to get running backs who I feel good about early on, because you just never know which of these guys are going to emerge. And I just got Justin Forsett at the end of the 3rd round.
See, that's what I was wondering. Where would he be going?
And I was wondering a month or two ago, I was like, if this guy ends up back in Baltimore, Is Justin Forsett a borderline first-round pick because of the way people value running backs? And that is not the case at all right now. He's a late third, early fourth-round pick. And I got to be honest with you, the way things stand right now, and a lot can change, I think that's a pretty nice spot for Justin Forsett.
And people have the right to be skeptical. The guy, of course. The guy's been a nobody for before this year. He's been nobody. But he showed that he's capable of doing it. We were a little scared when Kubiak left, but they bring in Mark Trestman. His running back, he's been very good to his fantasy running backs, dating back all the way back to like 2001 with Charlie Garner when he was the OC with the Raiders. And we saw Matt Forte get plenty of, could Forsett catch 50, 60 balls next year too? We saw Forte.
And he's in the 40s this year.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Forte had 90-plus catches last
before
year,
we get deeper into Mark Trestman and what he brings to the table, because there's talk of him not changing up too much, what else do they have here?
Exactly.
Torrey Smith is gone. Steve Smith is their number one receiver, and how many years does he have left in the league? You know, we're talking about Michael Brown, Marlon Brown,
Dennis Pitta,
Michael Campanero, anymore, Dennis Pitta's, you know, and Owen Daniels is gone. You know, there's not a lot here to get excited about for the Ravens as you look at, you know, what they have going forward. And maybe they'll be a little bit busier on the offensive side during the draft, but there's not much else out there to pick up. Forsett, Taliaferro, Fitzgerald Toussaint at running back. Your receivers are Steve Smith, Marlon Brown, Kamar Aiken, Michael Campanero, Jeremy Butler. You got guys like Crockett Gilmore. You know, where is Pitt, as Tom just mentioned? Is his career over with another hip injury? And there's not a lot here, so you feel like Forsett has to be very important for them, and we'll talk about what they can do in the draft.
And they can do plenty.
They can do plenty, and we'll get into that. But you mentioned Mark Trestman, and before we get into Trestman, Joe Flacco has never really had much fantasy value. I think we know that. I think there's a guy that has always been better in reality than fantasy.
He had his best year for fantasy last year, and he was 15.
Exactly.
Among quarterbacks.
I mean, and I was like, oh, wow, Joe Flacco at 15. I mean, here's the deal. He threw 555 passes, completed 62% of them for just under 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. It's not a bad season at all. It's a pretty good season. And then as the names we've seen get signed at quarterback this offseason, that's a damn good season. 20.4 fantasy points a game puts him at 15 among quarterbacks who made 10 or more appearances. A career year, but he's a streamer at best. That's what Flacco is at his peak. He's ever been has been a streamer. 8 games, he did not hit 20 fantasy points, and only one time he went over 30. That's pretty much Flacco in a nutshell right there. Is okay, he can throw for 300 once in a while, but most of the time, he's not gonna. It's gonna be a boring game to watch. That's kind of what the Ravens do, and you don't get a lot out of him for fantasy. He is a guy I do believe. I don't think he makes receivers around him all that much better, but I think if you put a decent group around him, the numbers will be there for those receivers, not necessarily Flacco. We've seen it for Torrey Smith. We saw it for Steve Smith. We even saw it for Owen Daniels somewhat.
Here's the problem with Joe Flacco, and I think one reason that sometimes it's just really difficult to talk about the guy. He's clearly not a journeyman. He's going to play most, if not all, of his career in Baltimore. We already know that, and I believe he's, what, 28, 29 years old? He's in the prime of his athletic career. He's never been a big number guy. I'm not going to throw the W word out there because it's irrelevant to us. But people are so quick. They want to call Joe Flacco elite because he's a guy who plays for a team that is often victorious and he starts every game. He's never missed a game in his career. And at some level, maybe Joe Flacco is a rarity in the NFL. Maybe he's just a good quarterback. And it seems like there are so few of those guys. Like, there's a bigger group of elite quarterbacks than there is a group of good quarterbacks. Do you understand what I'm saying?
He's in that, you know, I think you'd put guys ahead of him. Like, would you take Matt Ryan over Joe Flacco?
Yes.
Okay, I think we're all in agreement there.
Flacco's had a better situation.
There's some that would not do that. And I
respect that.
Now, Ryan has also played on a team that's had Julio Jones and Roddy White.
Yes.
Where Flacco's had Anquan Boldin and Derek Mason and Steve Smith and Torrey Smith. I mean, he's never had monster big-time talent, but he's done fine. I think you make a good point is that there's that big-time tier, then there's the guys like Matt Ryan and maybe like Romo in there, and then you get into the Flaccos of the world, but like we said, Brian Hoyer is getting a new contract. Josh McCown is getting a new contract. Colin Kaepernick got a pretty good deal. Andy Dalton got a pretty good deal. I mean, I'm taking Joe Flacco over Andy Dalton, and I put him above there. And he got a lot of money.
Yeah,
and we kind of laughed when he got all that money after they won a Super Bowl because he got hot for four games, and they got hot for four games. But you look now, and you're like, yeah, kind of where he fits.
You got to pay the guy. And look, he's better than Dalton. And I think people are just so – this day and age in the NFL, I don't think people are comfortable calling a guy – just a good quarterback.
He's fine. He's going to play for 15 years, and he's going to make a lot of money. He's already got a Super Bowl.
But we have to look at the situation, too. Maybe Flacco could go to Atlanta. He could put up fantasy numbers. But he's playing in Baltimore. He doesn't have the weapons. They rely on that defense. That's how they win games. He's never going to put up fantasy numbers.
Built team in the ugly areas than the Atlanta Falcons are. And maybe Matt Ryan's a guy who's just never had the benefit of a great offensive line.
He's a guy that's always going to be better for reality than fantasy.
He's the right guy for this team. But you don't ask him to do too much. They're a pretty well-built team. As you said, they've had a lot of success. Certainly over Flacco's career, they've had a ton of success. It's interesting to me is for a big-armed guy, and he's got one of the best arms in football, pretty boring in terms of the numbers he puts up. You don't get the big, flashy numbers. He's not that exciting to watch, even though he's got that great arm, because they don't take advantage of it maybe a ton. I think that's part of it as well. And as you look forward to 2015, there's not a lot that's going to change here. And you wonder if they take a step back.
He's a fantasy backup.
Right, that's what he is.
And Trestman, though, the quarterback whisperer, I still think Flacco needs weapons here. Trestman was just coaching a team that had Martellus Bennett and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Better group than Flacco's going to be throwing to this year.
We're 7 years into Flacco's career. Is he getting any better?
And this is the question I was going to ask. Guys, who are you willing to put in Joe Flacco's tier as we kind of know what he is? You don't believe he's going to get much better or worse than he is. And you always know you're going to have a guy who's going to go out there each and every Sunday and sometimes he's going to play great, sometimes isn't going to play so great, but you know his job is never going to be in question. There's just not that many guys.
Do you put Eli Manning in that category?
Eli Manning is in that category. Yeah. And I think maybe Eli's had more ups and downs than Flacco. I think at his best, he's better than Flacco. At his worst, Eli Manning is worse than
Flacco. A healthy Carson Palmer, I think, is in that category at this point in his career.
But Palmer's got the injuries. So
right.
I think Joe Flacco is in a really kind of unique tier. I don't think anybody really complains about him too much. I think Baltimore fans like him well enough. Sometimes after a bad game, you might hear him say Flacco's got to step up more. But I think it's a really small tier of quarterbacks that is just rock solid, 16-week, 24/7, 365 type of guy.
He's 7-11.
He's just when you need a Gatorade at 2 in the morning, 7-11 is going to be open. I think that's kind of what Joe Flacco is.
With all that said, I'm not touching him for fantasy this year. I haven't touched him in a long time. Yeah. These weapons just aren't very good around him right now. We love his big arm, but who does he have to throw deep to anymore? They haven't addressed that. They let Torrey Smith walk, and now all of a sudden they don't have a vertical threat, which is very scary. They have to go look into the draft in that first round looking for that speedster. I mean, I'm sure they're praying that Breshad Perriman is going to be there when they pick. But, you know, we'll see.
We've also heard talk that, you know, some teams are going to love Philip Dorsett's explosive ability. This is a guy who's been kind of pegged as that third-round pick. Don't be shocked to see him go in the late first, early second round.
Devin Smith's another speedster that they target him for the second round.
And maybe they don't go after one.
Yeah.
And which
I think that would be a disaster.
Because Flacco throws such a great deep ball.
As a streamer, I'm looking at just some of the game log, the numbers here. Beatable matchups against Indy, 235, doesn't have a touchdown. Tennessee, 169, one touchdown.
What you're saying is he's not even great for streaming because he is inconsistent.
He had that game against Tampa Bay where everyone tabbed him as the great streamer of the week, and he came through.
He should, though.
Awesome.
But you can't bank on it. And that's not, I mean, they can win those games when he doesn't have. That's the thing with them, is that they'll win games where he's like, oh, he threw for 210 and a touchdown. And they win because they have a four-set kind of guy, and they have a good enough defense here. But do they take a step back, as you got to talk about with the draft here? That feels like – now, you never – I feel like – across the board, they're kind of boring that way, is that you don't even necessarily expect them to make a big splash in the draft. They kind of just keep an even keel.
They let their guys leave via free agency. They keep adding up the compensatory picks, and they use that to select the guys who 4 years down the road, they're going to let leave in free agency and then replenish them with compensatory picks. You know, I don't knock what the Ravens do because we always saw – I talked about this on the Packers podcast that everybody always puts the Packers at the in the lead of the best fantasy best free agency periods because they never do anything. And then I was like, you know what? They have Aaron Rodgers. They're capable of doing that. I think you can make the argument that in terms of roster construction, what the Ravens do is more impressive than what the Packers do because I don't think Flacco's close to Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I think he's very good. We just discussed that. But they managed to just put together a competitive team year in and year out without what I believe is an elite quarterback. And Ozzie Newsome deserves some credit for that. Now, I think over the past couple years, 18 months or so, I think you can make some very compelling arguments that the Ravens aren't a particularly ethical business entity. But in terms of roster construction, I think they do a pretty good job, and I like the method, and I think they are going to replenish offensively.
We hope, but yeah. I'm not banking on anything. I'm looking at their list of first-round picks here. The last time they took up anybody that was kind of flashy, Joe Flacco, quarterback.
Traded up for him. Then before that,
2005, Mark Clayton, wide receiver. They draft offensive line, defensive line, linebackers. And we want them to take that big receiver, speed receiver in that first round, but that is far from guaranteed that they'll do that.
And to close this up here, with a guy like Steve Smith, who right now is their number one guy, last year, remember, he came out hot. And through week five, 30 catches, 463 yards, 3 touchdowns on 49 targets. He was number 6 through that time in almost 19 fantasy points per game. Over the next 11 games, 49-602, 3 touchdowns on 84 targets, put him as the number 440. Wide receiver at 11.6 fantasy points per game. To me, that's closer to what he is at this point in his career. Now, does he get more targets just out of necessity? I think that's a possibility. But Steve Smith is a number 3 receiver to me. I don't get too excited about him. He actually had more deep plays last year than did Torrey Smith. So you just wonder about Steve Smith. Does he remain their number 1 guy just by default and maybe gets more targets out of that? They're just not that exciting, and they're just better in reality than they are for fantasy, really, outside of Justin Forsett.
Yeah, and I know this is going to be a real lively talking point here, but if they don't really improve at wide receiver here or tight end, would you take a flyer on Crockett Gilmore late in your drafts?
It's
he's supported tight ends before. Flacco and Trestman have.
Well, let's talk about Trestman for a sec. Now, he's coming in here, and Flacco apparently was involved in the process of picking out Trestman, and I think he made a good decision. And apparently Tressman's coming in here and saying, Joe Flacco said to him, hey, I liked running this Kubiak offense. I thought it fit my skill set. I like to roll out. And Flacco, we don't really give him credit for his athleticism, but I think he's a guy who throws the ball pretty well on the run. And that Kubiak offense was a great fit for him.
Career year.
And I think they are going to keep kind of the similar offense. Well, that means we're going to have a zone running scheme with dump-offs to the running back.
Lots of catches for running
backs. Lots of catches for tight ends, mm-hmm. especially in the red zone. Yeah, I think Crockett Gilmore.
I couldn't pick Crockett Gilmore out of a lineup, but yeah. He might be on my fantasy team.
It's entirely possible, no doubt about it. And look, the one thing you got to point out, though, 10 draft picks.
Yeah.
3 of them are compensatory, so you can't trade those picks. But the Baltimore Ravens have a ton of flexibility because they have 2 fourth-rounders. 2 fourth-rounders that they can move, and a 3rd that's a compensatory pick. They have a 5th-rounder they can move, and 2 that are compensatory picks, and they have a 6th-round pick. So there's a lot of ammo there for them to say, oh, you know what? As you mentioned, hey, we like Devin Smith. We think he can be Torrey Smith.
Yeah.
We're going to move up a couple picks to get him.
Make sure we get him, yeah.
We like, maybe they like Clyde Walford, the tight end from the university, from Miami, from the U. And they're like, you know what? We need a starting tight end. We're going to plug him in.
And he's a guy that's been talked about that he can step right into a lineup. So
maybe they like one of these young backs. Now, what do you think about Lorenzo Talaferro? I don't think I watched Lorenzo Talaferro. And you know what? For the hot minute he was on my fantasy team, I think I remember him having a pretty good week or two when I used him. I didn't think he was anything more than a guy type of player. But I think they could draft a running back, and there's a lot of running backs to draft in this class. And I think you got to look at that and see this could be a team that looks a lot different come May 2nd than it does now.
I mean, I don't think Talaferro is very special. I remember we were having the talk right after the draft, and Greg Cosell, he barely knew who Talaferro was, and they took him in the 4th or 5th round last year. I mean, I think running back will be a position that they upgrade at, you know, because Are they skeptical about Forsett? They might be. So they want to back up that position.
They brought him back.
They did bring him back.
October.
He's a different 30, though, than most running backs.
He is a different 30, but he's also not big.
Yeah, he's small in stature, too. So.
Yeah, it's a different 30 than Frank Gore, but he's also built differently and plays differently than Frank Gore. So, look, this is a team that I don't think there's a lot to discuss about for fantasy. You just got to respect the way they're coached, the way that they're built.
Yeah, they rely on the defense.
And in a way, I kind of like it. I'm just like, you know what? The Ravens are the Ravens. It makes my job easier when the Ravens are the Ravens.
Yeah, they keep things pretty simple. So that's really not much more to say on the Baltimore Ravens.
Kubiak just kind of made them a souped-up version of the Ravens. They were a little bit – you had Owen Daniels. I thought Pitta, if he had stayed healthy, would have had a nice year. You added Forsett. Well, you know, Ray Rice was a really good back in this offense. Flacco was the same type of guy – maybe that you gave a little bit more consideration to if you needed a quarterback in a good matchup. Steve Smith came out here, had a really nice year. Torrey Smith was Torrey Smith again.
And you know why? I think they were, you know, a little better offensively. Their secondary wasn't very good last year. They were in a lot more shootouts last year. Are we going to expect them to be, you know, much worse again? They can't get much worse defensively.
That's true. A lot of injuries there, too. They really got banged up that
so
way.
So that defense is going to be better. They're not going to be in these shootouts like they were last year.
There's our look at the Baltimore Ravens as we cover all 32 teams leading up to the draft here on the Fantasy Focus podcast. Once again, don't forget about FanDuel.com. With MLB season underway, you can get in on the action right now. Entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait all year long to cash in. Pick a brand new team anytime you want and make every game exciting with FanDuel. Tom, we're getting into the start, the first week of the MLB season. Hopes are high, but then like in 2 months when maybe things have cooled down a little bit for certain teams or there are those injuries, you're still excited playing FanDuel. That's the nice part about it.
Yeah, I'm in a fantasy league. I'm in an NL rotisserie league. I have to wait an entire season for that to pay off. I mean, that's a long way. That's 5-6 months away. Hey, if I want the quick payoff, I can go right to FanDuel, start doing lineups all this week with the opening week, and I get the satisfaction right away.
And you can get that entry feedback in some of those leagues. Maybe you should win in one night. And you don't have to, if that league goes well, it went well. But I already got that money back.
Sunk cost. FanDuel's not a sunk cost.
Exactly. You get it, you can turn it back into money right away. Eric Caffer from California, well, he turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Over 1 million other users have already won money, so get in now. They're paying more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU, sign up now. The special offer is for new users, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU, FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. As we continue our Franchise Focus podcast, you can get your questions in. Tweet them to us. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Camp, at FG underscore Dolan for Joe, at FG underscore Brawley for Tom. We're moving our way up the draft order. As I said, you can check out our podcast already posted for the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Colts, the Broncos, the Cowboys. Throughout this week, starting on Monday the 6th, we'll have the Cowboys, the Ravens here. We'll be doing the Panthers, the Cardinals, the Lions, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Bills. All this week, 9 podcasts coming your way all this week here at FantasyGuru.com. Plenty of stuff up on the site, the pre-draft rookie report. The guys have mentioned a little bit. They did a great job on that. A lot more coming your way. The post-free agency stock watch, keeper, and dynasty rankings are up. And you want to get on the site? You could do so right now for the early bird fee of $24.95 for the season. That's $5 off the regular price. So take advantage of that now. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. We appreciate listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.